Hello, and welcome to my podcast, where the dark corners are. I am your Dark Travels hostess. So, I gotta apologize for the confusion. So, March has always kind of been a rough month for me, and this year's no exception. And so, I didn't get my paranormal itinerary together in time. And so, I just went ahead and released our true crime associated with Alaska. So, we're going to just say March, because March is hard for me sometimes. I don't know. Well, every year. So, but yes, we are cracking open our paranormal passport and heading to the great state of Alaska. Because as you know, the Panda and I are actually taking a Disney cruise to Alaska come September. And I'm very excited for this trip. I'm totally looking forward to this trip. And I have never been to Alaska, and while it really hasn't been on my to-do list, I am excited to see what Alaska has to offer. Now, a little bit of tidbits about Alaska. Now, believe it or not, Alaska is actually a 49th state, 49 out of 50. And even though Russia, who had previously occupied and owned Alaska, like they previously occupied and owned California, had offered to sell it to us prior to the Civil War that started in 1861. They again made the offer after, and Secretary of State William Seward just decided, you know what, let's go for it. So basically at 2 cents an acre, we bought Alaska from the Russians for $7.2 million on March 30th, 1867. Now, it will remain as a territory in the United States until it becomes a state on January 3rd, 1959. Now, sometimes when I do my research, sometimes I come across some strange tidbits, little bits of trivia that just makes you go, I don't even know why this is a law, but some strange tidbits. Okay. Number one, Alaska actually holds the U.S. record for the coldest recorded temperature in the United States. And the coldest temperature, which was registered on January 23rd, 1971, I'm not even born, was at negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Negative 80, I mean, I've seen negative 11, maybe negative 18, but 80? No. Alaska also holds the United States' highest mountain, Mount McKinley or Dalini, depending on who you ask. And they have this one law that I was just like, I don't even know why this is, what has transpired for this to be something that legislation was pushed to get this passed. But apparently in Alaska, it is illegal to push a moose from a plane or offer a moose a drink like alcohol. Now, I can get the alcohol part, but pushing, I mean, how many mooses were pushed from a plane for them to go, you know what, guys, that ain't right. We got to make a law. We got to stop human beings from getting mooses on planes and pushing them off. Plus, too, I don't know if you guys know this, but mooses are gigantic. They're really big creatures. I mean, I don't even know how you would manage to get a moose on a plane. But anyways, the other interesting thing that I came across was because of the long summer days in Alaska, because sometimes parts of Alaska actually will go into darkness for a couple months, but also sunlight, kind of, it's awkward. Dark, just strange for 2 months. They go into some parts go into night time, and some parts are all day, 24 hours all day. But thanks to the long summer days, Alaska has the capability to produce some seriously oversized produce. And I'm talking about 138-pound cabbages have been known to grow there, 65-pound cantaloupes, 35-pound broccoli. I mean, Jesus Christ, what are you feeding the soil in Alaska? Anyways, so those are some strange little tidbits about Alaska. Now, as I mentioned before, with the cruise, we're going to actually be stopping in three separate cities in Alaska. Juneau, which is the capital, Ketchikan, and Skagway. So tonight we're going to touch down on all three places and talk about the paranormal activity that is going on in these particular spots. We'll start with Ketchikan. So apparently in Ketchikan, their local high school is haunted. Per the legend, in the 1940s, while on the catwalk, a student accidentally fell to his death. And today, it seems that this poor kid is known to relive his last seconds of his life as he will scream like he was screaming when he was falling to his death. And when they hear the scream, of course, this causes an immediate panic and people start looking, only to realize this is not a normal scream. And it is said the spot where he fell has to be painted and repainted because blood will reappear or appear on its own accord. And this has happened so frequently, and the people have gotten so comfortable or familiar with this scenario, the students have even dubbed this particular ghost Bucci or Boucher, depending on who you ask, I guess. Now, cool things about Ketchikan, and this is just a side note, at the Totem Bite State Historic Park, they actually have a authentic collection of Native Alaskan artifacts, as well as an authentic collection of totem poles. And we're talking really old totem poles. So if you're kind of in the area and you kind of want to see some authentic Alaskan artifacts and some totem poles that were made 100 years ago, checking out this particular state park would be ideal. Now, let's talk about the Red Onion Saloon. It was open for business in 1898. This was during the height of the gold rush that was going on up in that area. And the saloon was the bottom portion, but the brothel was the upper portion, so the upstairs. Now, how it worked was, down in the bar, there would be 10 dolls, and each of these dolls would represent a working girl, you know what I mean. You know. Anyways, if the doll was laid flat on her back, it meant that the girl was occupied. But if it was sitting upright, it meant that she was available. So after she, you know, so the client would like lay the doll down, and when the client was leaving, he would sit the doll upright, make future customers aware of their availability. Now, like anywhere else, the working conditions for these ladies were not ideal, and America's last wild frontier, and it was pretty brutal. And being as isolated as they were, you know, subjected to diseases. They had to deal with unwanted pregnancies. They had to deal with sicknesses. So, you know, medicine was not readily available. And unfortunately, a lot of these outside factors led to death. So they had a higher rate of death in their occupation. Now, in the 1900s, the Red Onion will become a popular dance hall. And just kind of the building itself would be used for a variety of reasons and purposes, such as an army barrack, a bakery, a laundry service, a union hall, a gift shop, and actually a television studio. So just a lot of energy, different energy, a lot of things going on. But today, it hosts live music. It's now back to a saloon. In fact, it's been described as stepping into the past, looking as if it had looked 100 years prior. And it even doubles as a brothel museum. So if you walk into it, it's, you know, you're stepping back into the past. You'll be able to see the ladies' costumes, if you will, kind of type of clothing that they used, and the old-time portraits and just old stuff that they had utilized, that they had kept, and are now on display. Now, upstairs, you can see the original 10 rooms that were utilized as the brothel. And per the legend, it is haunted by a woman named Lydia, who was a former madam of the saloon. Now, Lydia was actually known to be very beautiful and very popular. And unfortunately, when she caught a sexually transmitted disease, she made the permanent choice to end her life. But today, she's still hanging around and checking out the saloon and making sure that things run smoothly. However, she does kind to pinpoint men more than anybody, and kind of likes to play tricks on them. And you can tell she's lingering around because she had a very favorite perfume that she would wear. And so if you smell this floral heavy perfume, chances are that's Lydia checking you out, checking the saloon out or the brothel out. And in addition to smelling her perfume, people have claimed to have seen full body apparitions of Lydia. And she also likes to run up and down the hall. And apparently she likes to stop and water plants, because a lot of the times the caretakers of the plants inside the building will find that the soil is already wet. And it's like, who watered the plants? Well, it was Lydia. But in addition to her, people have also reported the experience of cold spots in random spots in the building. So Lydia's hanging around and you got some cold spots. Now let's talk Skagway. Skagway has kind of got a very interesting history. So gold was discovered in 1896 in the Yukon, Yukon being Canada. And this particular gold rush was called the Klondike Gold Rush. But one of the particular ways to get to the Yukon was through Skagway. And just like here in California, when gold was discovered in 1848, people of all over the world just swamped the area. And this particular area saw an influx of at least 100,000 prospectors. And then they're all just hoping to, you know, get rich, strike gold, strike the big one, the mother lode. And of course, they all came through Skagway, because it had a deep water port and it was actually the most direct overland route to the gold fields. Now, as with any other, you know, gold rush, silver mining town, you know, there's this automatic and crazy boom of people crowding the streets, trying to build something, trying to build houses, businesses, saloons. You've got your lawlessness arriving. You've got disease running rampant. You've got a lot of people just trying to carve something for themselves while carving into the soil, carving a town, basically. So a lot of carving is going on here. Either way, this, of course, comes with an influx of violence and death and just, you know, the makings of ghost stories. So let's talk about the Golden North Hotel. Now, during the gold rush, a woman by the name of Mary came to stay at this particular hotel with her fiance, a gentleman they called Klondike Ike. And just like everybody else, he was looking to score rich, score fast, furious gold. And as the days went by, Mary waited and waited and waited, and Klondike Ike never came back. And one day they noticed they weren't seeing Mary. She wasn't answering to the doors, the knock at the doors. And they became very, very concerned, and rightly so. So they basically had to break into the room. And when they did that, unfortunately, they had found that she had made the ultimate decision. And sadly enough, if that's not bad, because it is bad, beyond that, they found her wearing the wedding dress she would have worn had Ike had returned back and married her. Now, some people actually think she didn't kill herself. Some people, there's a debate whether or not she killed herself versus pneumonia. But if you don't seek help or ask for treatment and you just would prefer to just die, that is, you know, a decision too. Either way, it is believed that her sad afterlife ghost lives there today. People have seen a pale ghostly figure staring out the window of the very same room she had stayed in, as if she's still looking out and waiting for Ike's return. They've seen her in the halls as well. And in certain rooms, guests have actually woken up and found her staring at them while they sleep and, you know, probably checking to make sure that isn't necessarily Ike involved with somebody else. But who knows? Who knows what her motive is? In addition to seeing her apparition, people have heard strange and mysterious noises that make no sense, that have no, you know, point of origin. And, of course, lots of cold spots, other than, you know, Alaska being cold. And some guests in room 23 will wake up in the middle of the night feeling like they're being choked. Now, potentially this could be the ghostly impression of having pneumonia and having the inability to breathe. But either way, it's not a fun sensation for the guests staying there. In addition to room 23, room 14, people have seen, and this is staff included, seen mystery lights that just seem to have this sparkle to it without a source of purpose or a reason of being there. And even though it's not, you know, life-threatening, it certainly is startling to those who have suddenly got this little sparkling light going on, this little firework scenario happening in the middle of the night, in the middle of the room, and it's night time. So, either way, definitely a hotel that seems to have a lot of activity going on. Now, another place you can rest your head and potentially have a apparition or ghostly experience is the 1902 White House Bed and Breakfast. Now, prior to being a bed and breakfast, it was once a hospital. We all know what that means. And a daycare and a hotel. So it's gone like full circle. Now, in the 1980s, the building caught on fire. And it was kind of in that condition, the burnt shell condition, for a while. But after the restoration, after construction to rebuild happened, people began seeing the apparition of a younger woman. And we all know that construction can do this, can definitely kick up some paranormal activity. Now, those who have come into contact with her say that she is friendly, but she particularly will chat with children, which gives them the impression that she was probably either the owner or an employee of the daycare that was once operating in this particular space. So that's why they came to believe that it's this young lady who was part of the daycare because of her attention she gives to the children. Now, believe it or not, when I when I was researching Skagway, I kind of like a lot of other things, I kind of like to see what else is there. Not always paranormal, but interesting things. And I came across this building, this very unusual building, the AB building. And it looks like a thousand sticks and pieces of driftwood basically covers the facade of this place, and giant letters spell out the initials AB. And it's pretty, it stands out. Now, AB means Arctic Brotherhood. It was a fraternal organization that was formed in 1899. And it was, it's adorned actually with over 8,800 bits of wood. And again, this thing totally stands out. The club symbol is a gold pan, gold nuggets, and can be seen at the tip of the facade, and with the date hanging over above the door. Now, like a lot of fraternities, this particular fraternity was limited to white men over the age of 18, living in Alaska, the Yukon Territory, the Northwest Territory, or British Columbia. And oddly enough, this particular fraternity had members such as Warren Hardy, President Warren Hardy, President Teddy Roosevelt, President William McKinley. Get it with the mountain. Anyway, they were honorary members as well as King Henry the VII of England. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they wrote like a letter like, hey, you're in our club now. Congrats. Here are your dues. Swing by the next time you're in town. I don't know. Either way, I just kind of thought that was kind of interesting. And again, this building does stand out from the rest. All right, let's talk about the Capitol. Speaking of people of heads of state, let's talk about the Capitol. Now, the capital of Alaska is actually Juneau. And believe it or not, you can only get to Juneau by boat or plane. Hence, this is probably why the cruise lines are able to come here, because it's a boat. You get there by a boat. And just like a lot of places in Alaska, the Capitol is haunted. And I do mean even the Capitol building is haunted. According to those who have witnessed the paranormal activity, doors will open and close on their own accord. They will hear strange and unusual sounds without any point of origin. And they've actually seen apparitions whom they believe are past politicians. And I mean, there probably was a lot of passion in coming together and establishing this state, even though it's one of our last states to become into the Union, without a doubt. Just a lot of energy, a lot of, you know, juice being spread around because of trying to establish themselves as a state and getting things fixed and arranged to get things up and running smoothly. Now, like I said before, it's just as haunted, including some of their own hotels. We'll start with the Alaskan Hotel. If it is a fright night you are looking for, you're going to want to check out or ask for room 315. Even the current owner, a lady by the name of Betty Adams, who has owned the hotel for the last 40 years, doesn't like the room. She's scared of the room. There's something in the room. And to quote her, she says, it's creepy. You know, I've never seen anything, but I feel things. And you know, that's a real thing where you just get that hunch in your back and you're like, you're not alone, but you can't see anybody with you. And you sprint down the hall because you're not alone, but you can't see who's with you. Anywho, so this particular room is decorated as if it's still the 1900s, but probably the early 1900s, the 20th century. The beds, you know, floral, there's, you know, portraits of women who probably were once working girls there. And again, just something about this room. In fact, in 2007, when the Navy came to Juneau, part of it anyways, some of them needed a place to stay. And one of them asked very specifically that he be put in room 315. And they heard a lot of commotion. And for some particular reason, this particular Navy sailor jumped out the window. And when the police arrived to kind of figure out what's going on, you know, they open the door, they find a lot of blood. And it's just very strange as to why this particular Navy man jumped out the window. And he survived, so, we're, you know, it's cool. But it's kind of like nobody talks about it, like Bruno, all right? Nobody talks about Bruno. Either way, so there's something in this room. If you are heading to Juneau anytime soon, this is definitely the room you want to check out. Now, let's talk about the Red Dog Saloon in Juneau. Per the legend, let's say, there's a lady who may have been a previous working gal. It is said that Alice likes to hang around and check out things and see what's going on. It is also said that objects will move on their own accord. The lights like to flicker. Glasses will move on their own, like maybe someone's moving around. And cold spots. Definite cold spots are happening as well. Now let's talk about the Silver Inn and bed and breakfast. Now, despite the fact that it was a bed and breakfast, it also had a bakery. The bakery was founded by a gentleman by the name of Gus Messerschmidt in 1898. And it is considered to be the oldest bakery in Alaska. Now, unfortunately, Gus, the owner, dies in 1938. But people claim to this day to see that Gus is still hanging around, especially if they come in bright eye early in the morning. So, probably making sure that the croissants are soft and croissant as ever. I don't know what they make there. I've not been there yet, but it is something maybe I should really consider checking out. Either way, I want to talk about a little tidal island about 20 miles north of Juneau. This particular island has a shrine to St. Therese, that was built in the 1930s. And St. Therese honors a 19th century, 1800, French nun. And it has, this island has a chapel, a labyrinth, and apparently beautiful views of the Lynn Canal, the favorite canal, and the Chilkat Mountains. Now, St. Therese was a Carmelite nun. She was born in 1873 in Alcon, which is located in northern France. She had a very short life. She only lived 24 years, but she was very devoted to the cause, and she became the patron saint of Alaska. So to honor her, they built this very curious chapel on this island just outside the town of Juneau. If religion's your thing, or if you like looking at really old chapels, this is, you know, probably something you would be interested in. And part of the attraction for me is even though I am not a practicing Catholic, I don't really support the Catholic Church on any level, it is something to behold, I think, some of the architectural structure. We talk about dark corners, the strange and unusual. And I have been known to, you know, check out very interesting chapels, cathedrals, strange and unusual places of worship in my travels. So this is not far-fetched for me. But the other place I want to talk about, because I've always heard about this place, we're not going to this place, but I think it's very interesting, is the small town of Whittier. Now, this town, I mean, it's super small. It's like extra small, like so small. It's unbelievable. But in the town of Whittier is the population of 273 people. And of those 273 people, 215 of them live in the Bigosh Towers, which is a 14-story condominium that is the town. It has churches. It has convenience stores. It has grocery stores. It has schools. It has the clinic. It has everything, including ghosts. So, I mean, the town itself actually has ghosts as well. But this particular building, people have seen the apparition of a man just taking a walk and whistling down the halls. They have seen a man who's like stomping down the halls. I don't know if it's the same guy. You know, maybe he woke up on the wrong side of the afterlife. I don't know. They've heard rustling in, even in their own particular apartments, people have had experiences. The city manager woke up hearing rustling in his kitchen. And of course, there was nobody in there. They just have a variety of different scenarios happening in the town, in this building, in this area. But again, a lot of other buildings in this area is actually haunted as well. And in this particular area, I think what partly contributes is the fact that they've had tragedies. For example, in 1964, 13 people had died in an earthquake that hit this particular area. And, you know, again, like a lot of other places, in particular during the Cold War, it's had a lot of foot traffic with the military. So a lot of different energies, a lot of anxieties that, of course, leave the impression on the land. So it's one of those towns. It's like it's dying. So it's becoming a ghost town, but it already has ghosts haunting this particular area. And like I said, sadly, we will not be able to check it out as our timeline probably won't allow us. But either way. Now, that concludes our paranormal trip to three cities, more or less, including Whittier, not including Whittier, four cities in Alaska. All right, on to business. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and if you are curious and or interested and would like to join, send us a request. And if you have a topic that you'd like us to touch down, a serial killer you'd like Sierra to cover, or a topic you'd like the gang to join in and share and discuss, send us an email at wherethedarkcornersare@gmail.com. But until next time, please remember, only the few can find the beauty in the darkness, which is where we hope to meet you, where the dark corners are.